With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yo, yo, it is the Alt in Our Stars podcast. That is the name of the show. My name is Chris Payne. I am a correspondent here at Billboard. I write about rock music and alternative and indies. I write about a lot of things, but the most favorite thing that I do here is probably this podcast, and I had one of my favorite people to interview on the podcast this week. His name is Brendan Urie. He's the singer of Panic at the Disco, a band that I've written about a good amount for Billboard. Not too long ago, I wrote a 10-year anniversary oral history of their first album, A Fever You Can't Sweat Out, for the Billboard website. So not too long ago, I talked to Brendan very extensively about way back when he was like 17, making the first Panic record, when they were popping off with I Write Sins Not Tragedies, all that good stuff. So fast forward now, they're about to put out their fifth studio album. It's called The Death of a Bachelor, and has a big Frank Sinatra influence in it, which we talked about a lot here. Talked about a little thing they had with the B-52s, a little sample fun talk with them. We talked about fedoras on that Frank Sinatra tip. We talked about the Thanksgiving Day Parade. Talked about a lot of fun things. Talked about Fall Out Boy, of course. Let's be real here. Anyway, I hope you enjoy this one. This is Panic at the Disco Alt in Our Stars podcast. Hey, we're here at Billboard Alt in Our Stars podcast time with Panic at the Disco.
What's up?
What's up, hey, man?
A.K.A. Brendan.
How's it going?
It's all good. Nice to, the last time we talked, it was way down memory lane.
Wait, this was,
Fever You Can't Sweat Out, 10-year.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah. I was 10 years younger. much less experienced and well-versed in the world of music. Wow, that's wild, dude. That's so crazy.
Yeah, so it's album number 4, right?
This one's number 5.
Five.
Which doesn't sound right. 10 years doesn't feel right. That's so crazy to say.
Cause
yeah, it's number 5.
Yeah, because it's like, maybe it's like debut is big, sophomore is big, but then you sort of establish yourself and you're a thing. And after that, right. It's just like.
Yeah, for most artists, that's usually how it goes. But every album, it was like, you know, a reiteration of some new reincarnated version of the band, you know?
Mm.
New members, old members, whatever. It's just like so crazy. One idea, another idea, just trying to figure out a vision for each album, you know?
Yeah.
So weird.
So the vision for this one, I'm going to try to remember this from the press release that was sent out. It was, You were going for Frank Sinatra teaching DJs how to write, and you're cracking up right now, how to write rock music?
Yeah,
was that it?
That's exactly what it was. Dude, good memory. Jeez, that was awesome.
That was a good press release quote.
Yeah.
That nailed it.
They were just like, how would you describe it? I couldn't think of any other way. It's like, not all of them sound like Sinatra and Beyonce, so it was like a combination of everything. Some DJ-esque stuff, some rock and roll Queen stuff, you know? Like a lot of those harmonies are just trying to mimic, you know, Roger Taylor and Freddie Mercury's high vocal harmonies. That's so funny. Dude, good job.
Yeah,
I'm very impressed.
I mean, I think your management really deserved for a solid press release.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, Crush is the best. He's the fucking best. Oh, God. That's funny.
So, a lot of Frank Sinatra influence, I guess, on this.
Yeah. I know, I've been pimping him out so hard, dude. Just like Sinatra. What's this album like? Sinatra. Yeah, dude, it's funny. Like, I've always been a fan of Sinatra, but I didn't, like, get the deep appreciation till later on, you know? I mean, growing up, like, my earliest memories are Christmas time, listening to Sinatra Christmas albums. And it didn't, like, take on the obsessive idolizing, you know, until I got older. And I could actually appreciate how he used his voice. Because when I was younger, I just thought, oh, that's just natural. He just whatever. Didn't have the appreciation that I do now. Mm. And so I had to use it. I listen to Sinatra every day. You know, either I wake up and listen to him in the shower, I fall asleep listening to him. It's just, he's so much a part of my life that now I wanted to, for the first time, figure out how to use those influences sonically, try to present them in the way that I fell in love with that artist, you know?
Yeah. It seems like a lot of musicians nowadays really aren't using him as a reference point.
Yeah, it's not really a popular consensus to say Sinatra, which I love. I think that's so cool, too. Like, you know, the fact that he just disliked rock and roll so much, I think that's so rock and roll.
Right, I forgot about that,
He just was not the biggest fan of rock and roll. He thought it was lazy, couldn't understand what these singers are saying. I just thought that was like that's pretty punk rock, dude. To, like, denounce rock and roll is kind of badass.
Yeah, it's like, John Lennon just doesn't enunciate his syllables enough.
Exactly. That was like a quote. Exactly. He said that. Whoa, bold. Bold move, Frank.
It was rough for those guys, because I don't know if Tony Bennett disliked, because he was a contemporary, I don't know if he disliked hip, or say hip hop, if he disliked rock at all, but those guys... The industry was like a 360. They had to just completely reinvent themselves.
Right. Dude, if you've seen the All or Nothing at All documentary that HBO did about Sinatra, and they talk about that, and it's like kind of cringeworthy, the stuff that trying to make a name in the rock category and, like, you know, the collaborations he would do with other people. I think the one that he really pulled off, or the only one that he pulled off, was him and Elvis singing each other's songs, which I thought was really cool. But other than that, it was just like weird. It wasn't a fit, you know? It didn't make sense. So he just had to do his own thing. He just, you know, couldn't acquiesce to whatever everybody else was doing. He just, you know, had to do his own thing.
So after death, you're taking care of that for him.
Yeah. What an asshole I am.
Putting on the crown.
Yeah.
I'll take it from here.
Yeah, the only thing I can say is, like, I'm just the biggest super fan of Sinatra. So, like, I just can't even help it. It's like, there's no way Sinatra couldn't have been a part of this album. Just like Queen couldn't have been a part of this. It's just like, there's no way that couldn't have happened, because I was, you know, so influenced by that. And then now I feel like hitting a stride as a producer and a writer, I feel that I can use those sounds to the best of my ability to present it as, like, hey, now you can hear the influences that I've talked about in the past, you know, instead of just not sounding anything like the bands that I would talk about, you know?
Yeah. So,
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's Death of a Bachelor. And on the title track, Death of a Bachelor, that's really the one where I think the influence really comes. And a little bit on the last song on the album. But with the title track, like, take me through with you getting married. That's probably connected. How does this all come together in Sinatra?
Yeah, so Death of a Bachelor, that came about. I had actually asked Lolo, who was a part of the last album, she sang on Miss Jackson. She sings the sweet, sweet hook. And she is a great lyricist, in my opinion. And I wanted, she has a very specific way of writing. So I asked her for a set of words. I was like, hey, do you have words? You know, you need to be my Bernie Taupin, please. Like, I need someone to, like, kickstart me. So I told her what I wanted to sing about. And then, like, a couple days later, maybe not even, might have been, like, a day, she emailed me all these lyrics. Even after I, like, the only thing I really gave her was, like, hey, I want to talk about, you know, letting go of the past, not, you know, wanting to latch on to single life, also becoming a new kind of artist, like, an end of an era. And she was like, okay. And then came back with and just a barrage of just a mess of lyrics. And then out of that, I just saw Death of a Bachelor. I thought, that is so cool. It just struck a chord with me immediately. So I sat down at the piano and I wrote the song entirely like a Sinatra song. Like, in my head, when I wrote it, I heard horns, big band, like, I saw the marquee and, like, you know, the whole, like, big band era type stuff. I wanted, you know, the Nelson Riddle Orchestra. Like, I wanted all that stuff, just pure Sinatra. And then the fun bit came once the song was written. I put it into, you know, the program I work in Logic, and I had this beat that I just had for whatever reason. I just do that sometimes, make a beat for any purpose in the future, and it just worked out. So I dropped the piano and the vocal I recorded in my house, put it in the program, and it just worked out so well. It was like shocking how excited I got more about the song. Because there's like a 5-point system where artists, I think, go through, at least I do, where I start off, I go, this is awesome. Then the next thing I go, I don't know if it's that great. Then the third step is just, this is awful. Fourth is, I'll never write something great. I'm just a piece of shit. And then fifth is back to, okay, I like it again. So it does like a full like cycle, you know? And that kind of happened, you know. I was like, I don't know what to do with this, so I dropped it in the thing, and then the beat matched up, and it was just this cool, that was like, I hadn't heard that myself that way. And that's surprising too.
Yeah.
Like, listening to yourself and then hearing yourself in a new light is so fun. It was just really, really exciting.
Yeah, and so Sinatra and some surf rock vibes on this album.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so... You know, it made me think a little reminiscent of with Fall Out Boy, with the sample of the Munsters theme in Uma Thurman. I think that the surf rock's making a comeback.
I love it. I love that it's like either being sampled or just being mimicked. Like, that's the coolest thing. I mean, it's, you know, there's so many novelty genres and special, like, unique pieces of music like that, like surf rock. That's just very much its own thing, and like doesn't need to change. Just like big band didn't need to change. It was just like always going to be the same crap, you know, which is awesome. And yeah, dude, the Fall Out Boy one, when I heard that, I was like, I know this. I didn't get it right away, though. I didn't realize it was Munsters. So I just sat there like, I know this. And then, yeah, just finally it took me forever to figure out it was Munsters, but it's the coolest sample. Nicely done, boys.
So yeah, the track we are talking about is... The one
For our surf rock.
With yours, yeah. With Kate from the B-52s.
Yeah.
That we actually, for the people listening, this conversation is prefaced by an office visit Brendan just did with Billboard, playing some new songs. So we're repurposing this. So take me through this little B-52s conversation.
Yeah, so the song is called Don't Threaten Me With a Good Time, and... The B-52 sample, it started from that, right? So, just like, you know, the Fall Out Boy did the Uma Thurman, the Munsters, and that was, like, so, so cool. But, like, before I even heard that, the B-52, the Rock Lobster song is just, like, so iconic to me. I just love the, like, any B-52 song, it's that's their thing. Like I was saying, it's just so uniquely them that is always going to be their sound, and it's so fitting, and it's so comfortable, but, like... I always run back to that, and it just reminds me instantly of like where I was when I first heard it, why I was listening to that when I was younger. So it brings me back like to a nostalgic place, but then I want to push it forward and see like what we can do with that. So it started from the B-52's Rock Lobster sample, and then you know, I go into the writing hoping that I don't have to discuss like publishing rights. Just like, how do we get them to sign off on this, you know? And so I just really lucked out, though. So Kate from B-52's, Kate Pearson, is like such a sweetheart because she's friends of my management. So, you know, I was like asking them, do you think we're going to be okay with this? Like, if this doesn't happen, I'm going to have to write some not as good, you know, lick to like sound like Rock Lobster, which I don't want to do because it's like so close to the song and like it just makes it. So luckily she heard it and she was like, I think it's really cool. And that was cool that she signed off on it. She was so sweet about it. So thank you, Kate. Very cool.
And you asked her about, would you come and play this live with us?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, in my mind, I'm like, it makes sense. I'm just like, hey, yeah. And then you'll just come up on stage when we play it live, and you'll sing the chorus with me. She's just like, yeah. And you'll give me 100% of the publishing. I was like, ah, all right. Well, thanks for letting me use your sample. You know, I won't ask any more of you. No, she's, that's a joke. She's such a sweetheart. Like, so cool that she, you know, let us use that sample. I love that.
And 15% of the Panic back catalog profits.
Yeah, know. Exactly. Yeah. Long-term profit for 20 years from now.
Lace in your dress tangles my neck. How do I live?
Do you think the new album is better than Fall Out Boy's?
Of course I do.
All right.
Oh, dude, that's the best question you could have ever asked me. I hope Pete hears that. Of course I do. I wouldn't, like, you know what? On a serious tip, I got to be that dude. Like, I have to believe that I am doing the greatest thing. You know what I mean? It's like a rapper. It's like, you got to believe 100% in what you're doing, or it's just fake. You know what I mean? So, of course, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Word, because... The way I see things, it seems like not a lot of rock musicians think that way. Do you feel like that?
I do think that. I think it's a little more self-deprecating.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little more loathing, self-loathing. So it's just like, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough, you know. Yeah, I'm kind of the opposite.
That's awesome to hear, because I feel like from the get-go, the way that, like, Decadence and Pete and the mindset that he tried to do was, like, sort of like a Rockefeller kind of crew, but with pop punk and rock bands.
It's bringing hip-hop mentality to rock and roll, and that's, like, I think it's been missing. It really has. I think it's been, like you said, it's just not really prevalent in the rock world.
And he was doing it. It was not prevalent like 10 years ago when he was doing it, and he's still doing it, and it's still not prevalent.
No, exactly. Yeah, it's just like, he's going to do what he's going to do. But I back it. I back the mentality.
I don't even think rap rock bands have that mentality.
No, not at all.
Like Korn and Mudvayne and Slipknot. I don't know if they were – I was never that into new metal, but it didn't seem like they were like always trying to like one-up each other. Oh, shit, the new Mudvayne track. Korn's got to rewrite their album.
No, it's more about just like who can be grungier, who can be covered in more blood, who can be trashy. It's awesome.
So – Is this now that you're the last remaining original member of Panic at the Disco, the last man standing, is this the first album you've done completely writing, like, on your own without, like, quote, bandmates?
No. So, I mean, you know, the third album, Vices and Virtues, that was when I started to take the reins a little bit because, you know, we had the, a couple members leave. And so Spencer and I, the remaining members, we would... Just kind of talking about it, like, we still wanted to do Panic. That was never a question, you know? It was never like, we should do Side Project or we could call something else. It was always, we want to do Panic. You know, past members wanted to leave and do something new, and that was totally cool, you know? And we understood that that wasn't anything, you know, filled with animosity or any of that. So from the third album, like, I really wanted to step up and write. That was my chance to be like, oh, wow, I have two less people telling me, like, I have to compromise, you know, listen to their opinions, like, do this thing. So it really opened up this world where, yeah, I was writing more on my own. And I actually, for those albums, like, in the past, and this one especially, I did have a vision. I knew what I wanted that to be. And it got even stronger, the image of it all and how I felt about it as time went on. The more songs I wrote, the ideas for tour, ideas for music videos, it just became this, like, beast that I didn't originally come up with, but it got even cooler to me, at least. And yeah, so this time around, though, it like increases by a little bit more percent of like how much more I do, because the third album, I still I wanted to learn from people like John Feldman, who I just had so much respect for as a songwriter and as a producer and an artist, and Butch Walker as well. And the first time, like, hanging out with those guys respectively, it's just amazing. John Feldman has the craziest work ethic. He's, like, working 18-hour days, sleeps for an hour, wakes back up at 4 a.m. and just, like, goes 100%. He's out of his mind. I love him to death. Butch Walker is not like that. He gets to chill. Like, we work maybe 5 hours a day, and it was, like, so cool that kind of Zen mentality. So it was very, very opposite sides, but learning a work ethic from both of them was so important. So like every album has been a progression in terms of producing, songwriting, mentality, work ethic. And yeah, it's been very, very important. But this time around, it's, yeah, this is like all me. This album feels so much mine. It's great.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool. And I want to talk about Vine too.
Yeah.
in this barrage of is Fall Out Boy better and Vine. But you're really good at Vine.
Thanks, dude. I haven't been on there in a while, but
oh, you have. All right,
I haven't. But you know
sabbatical.
What? It's okay. I still, I mean, I save them. You know, I still have a profile and all the videos that I've heard that people like, or at least I assume they like, mm-hmm. are still on there. So you can go check those out. But yeah, that's, you know where that started from. It started like I listened to the 10-minute podcast, Will Sasso and Chris D'Elia and Brian Callen, and I heard them talk about it once, and so I, you know, just went through. I was like, I don't even know what Vine is. This is so weird. Just 6 second. What is this? I don't get it. And then I watched Will Sasso, and he used to do these lemon vines where he would just like be ridiculous. And he's so funny, so charismatic that I tried to copy what they were doing, what Chris D'Elia and Will Sasso were doing on Vine. Cause I wanted to like be a comedian through this app. I didn't want to do like music stuff. I wanted to think outside the box, but I ended up being like coming to terms with the reality and being like, well, dude, you're a musician. You're not that funny. Like you need to stick to what you know, like just do music. So it became, yeah, like musical comedy. So I was able to like use music as a catalyst for whatever idea it was, you know. That was all during when I was writing the last album, Tour to Live.
Right.
Which that was a lot of fun. So anytime I was home, you know, when I want to take a break from an idea, I would make a Vine.
All right, so it sounds like you're taking a little break maybe. Are you more into Snapchat now, or what is the update you can give fans with Brendan on video-based social media apps?
I'll say this about Vine. I'm not done with it, really. I just, it got, like, first off, like, most of it's terrible. Vine is, like, most of Vine is awful. Most of the people that are big on Vine are god-awful. And so I was just, like, fed up with that, first off. And I won't name names. Maybe I should name names. No, No. But
I want to get some more listens on this podcast. You can name names,
buddy.
If you want
yeah,
to.
Yeah, buddy. No. But honestly, like, there was just so much crap, and like, I got fed up, and that was discouraging. So it made me want to do better stuff. But then it became like, now I have to think even more, and it was taking time away from things I actually needed to do for my job. So it's like, I can't just do Vine all the time, bro. It's like I have a real gig I have to, you know, commit to. So then it just got, you know, too busy for me to do, which sounds like a bullshit excuse, which kind of is. It's like, I could definitely do it. So yeah, I might go back to it. But right now what I do, what's easier for me, that I don't have to like think of a joke or a punchline, you know, to fit into 6 seconds, or think of some musical funny thing to do, is I do Periscope. And Periscope is just live stream, which is fun, man. Like it's just an even cooler way for me to interact with fans, because it just has a chat. Like I don't need to see anybody else, like Skype or something. It's not two-way video. But there's a chat, and I could do Q&As in there. They request songs. I play them on piano. Like, it's opened up a new thing for me to just have fun, but like even cooler, a way to interact with fans, which I love to do. I love figuring out new ways to do that, because like they're inventing new stuff to interact with everybody in the world, and that's the coolest shit. Like, that's insane, dude. 10 years ago, I wouldn't have even thought of half of this stuff. Vine was possible. Periscope was possible. Like, why would that have needed to be a thing, you know? But now it's just a cooler way to bring everyone, like, put them on the same page and be like, yeah, we're not so different. We all like 6 second jokes. Mm-hmm. We all like watching each other make breakfast on Periscope or like whatever. So yeah, it's just like a real humanizing form of media. It's really cool.
Yeah, it makes you think, like, what kind of media app like that is missing? Like, where is the void? Like, oh, we need something that does this.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I would never be I'm not the idea guy to be like, all right, I've got this thing, it's called Vine, and I don't know why I sound like this, but that's my idea guy voice.
The boardroom
I've
guy.
Got this thing, all right, let's get to work, crunch time, you know. So it's just, yeah, that's I'll leave that to the nerds.
And I think most of them are probably just like college students who are really smart, but
right.
like too cool to care about class, who are just sitting in dorm rooms smoking weed, who would think these things up. That's
right.
Who I think this is.
I agree with that. That's like where the good stuff happens. It's like your best ideas happen in the shower when you're not trying to think of something amazing, but it just pops in there. You go, that was brilliant. It's like, what? Maybe why you sound better in the shower when you're singing. You know, it's like, who knows? Something magical about those times. You turn your brain off.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
So we're talking, we should tell the people listening, we are talking right now in mid-November. They're going to hear this early January before the album comes out.
Awesome.
So because there's this time lapse,
yeah,
they're going to be like listening to the past, missing like a big segment of time.
Yeah.
We should make like a prediction.
Okay.
What do you think is going to...
When this airs?
Yeah. What is going on between now and just January when the new Panic album drops?
Okay. Well, let's see.
Holidays are coming up.
We played Thanksgiving, Macy's Thanksgiving Parade, which is coming up, which I can't believe we're doing that. That's crazy. So we just did that. My prediction is that we'll be singing, lip syncing to a track during that performance.
What float are you behind?
We're actually on the Ninja Turtles float.
You're on the Ninja, you know that.
That's what they told us. Now, that could mean a couple different things. That could mean we're actually on the float, or that could mean, yeah, we're right behind it, hidden behind the big like turtle sign or something. Which I'm good either way. Just to be there would be crazy, you know.
And what would happen on a Thanksgiving's Day parade? Who do you meet? What do you rehearse? What goes on?
They told us that we do rehearse, which is funny because I don't know how much rehearsal goes into it, like standing on a float and like acting like you're playing. That just seems bizarre. But yeah, we rehearse. When we go into playing, I really don't even know like who we meet, what goes into it. I'm actually really curious, a little bit anxious and nervous to see like if we need to meet some big wigs. I don't even know. It's kind of, it's intimidating, dude. This is like, what, the 60th year they're doing this or something? Like, for Macy's? It's intimidating, dude. It's a staple. It's a, you know, national staple. It's pretty amazing.
My Thanksgiving Day Parade musical memory is the year they brought Rick Astley out and he Rickrolled everybody. Do you remember that?
I don't. That's incredible.
Because I feel like every year it's just like, oh, the new Broadway show and here they are on a float. I'm trying to think of musicians. Maybe Fall Out Boy did it.
Fall Out Boy did it. I remember that. Fall Out Boy did do it. And that's why I was like, yeah, yeah, can we get the that too, please? You know, can we, you know, can Poor Man's Fall Out Boy get in there too? No. Shoot myself in the foot right
there. There's the pull quote.
There's the rock and roll self-deprecation right there. I talk the game of the hip-hop mentality, and then I fucking walk the rock and roll bullshit. That is the pull quote, goddamn it.
Oh man. So Thanksgiving. Big success.
Yeah. Let's see, Christmas.
What are you getting for,
holiday,
for the holidays?
I don't know what I'm doing for holiday. You know, that's family time. I gotta go back, see the fam.
Nevada?
Yeah, good old Las Vegas. Yeah, so now that I'm married, I split my time, right? So we go Detroit and then Vegas. So but we switch off, you know.
Okay.
So I think this year we're doing actually, I can't remember. I think we're doing Thanksgiving in Detroit, I hope. I don't know. Yeah, yeah. We're doing Thanksgiving in Detroit and then Christmas with my family in Vegas.
So. Split the difference and go to, like, Kansas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Meet halfway.
Just, no, yeah. Would you guys mind meeting us in Nebraska? Sure. Yeah. What a good idea.
Cool. Well, just about everything I had at my end. I think we touched on a lot of neat things.
We did. That was a great conversation, buddy.
I wanted to ask about Frank Sinatra.
Oh, right.
You're really into him, but you don't really seem like you dress like Frank Sinatra.
No.
Would you ever do that?
So, what I learned about Frank, or what I've heard and read, is that he would shower at least twice a day.
Okay.
And change his outfit at least three times a day, which I love both those ideas, but the, you know, to wear a suit all the time, that's a commitment. And I'm very lazy. And, like, I don't know. I get so lazy. Like, the suit, I wear it on stage. Like, it's important to me to, when I'm performing, like, a live show is a special occasion to me, so I love to dress up. And that's, like, my moment where I can do that. But who knows? As time goes on, if I'll slowly make myself become Sinatra even more with age, which I'm totally into. I back. That would be great.
Would you rock a fedora? He wore fedoras, right?
He wore fedoras, yeah. Yeah. What's funny, dude, I have a massive hat collection, which includes many, many fedoras that I haven't really worn because of the stigma of fedoras nowadays. I buy them thinking, you know what? I'm going to turn the stigma around, dude. I'm going to make people accept fedoras. But the way I'm dressed now, if I wore a fedora, I'd be in that camp that, like, gave it a bad name. So there's no way I'm like, I talk the game, dude.
The way you're dressed now, if you wore added a fedora to it, you would be, like, the kid in the mall who went to, like what is it, Spencer Gifts, and just put on all, like, the disparate items.
That wore the, hey, grab my boobs, or stop staring at my boobs t-shirt.
Like, a fedora that just doesn't go with the rest of what you're wearing.
Damn it, dude. Yeah, nail on the head, bro. You called me out, I know. Oh, God, I'm such a mall rat. In a shitty fedora. Oh, that's funny, dude. Yeah, I can't. Okay, I'll leave that to Sinatra. I had to die with him, right?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Cool.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Thanks for coming by, Brennan.
Dude, thanks so much for hanging. This was a fun talk, yeah. Thanks for letting me play the songs, too.
That was really absolutely.
Cool. Awesome. Well, till next time, man. I hope to see you soon.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks again.
So, there you have it. That concludes another episode of the Alts and Our Stars. If you have any feedback for the show, positive, negative, whatever you got, definitely hit me up. Best thing you can do, this is like a podcast thing in general. You probably, any other podcast you listen to, they probably say something like this, but star ratings on iTunes, we love them. We're thirsty for that, so I'm kidding. But if you can hop on iTunes and give us a star rating, that would be fantastic. Hey, if you give us one star, I will take it. I said positive, neutral, negative feedback, whatever you have. And if it's anything specific, you can hit me up on email. chris.payne@billboard.com. That's chris.payne@billboard.com. And if you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can click on the iTunes link towards the bottom of the story. If you're viewing this on billboard.com, that is. Otherwise, you can just search for the Alts and Our Stars on iTunes on your phone or whatever. Subscribe there. Also, once you're in iTunes, once you're in there, you can listen to archived episodes. Let's see, what have we had lately on the podcast? We've had Bully, we've had Butch Vig, we've had The Wonder Years, lots of good stuff to dig into there, so archived episodes, subscribe, all that good stuff. New episode of The Alt and Our Stars runs every Friday afternoon on billboards.com. So yeah, until next week, have a good weekend, everybody. Peace out.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And
it's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.